This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 6:07. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn. And we're starting off our show by discussing flash floods, because yesterday was a doozy in our capital city. You may have seen the photos and videos. I mean, here in the studio, actually quite a few listeners were sending them our way as the evening went on. And worse yet, you may have been stuck in or delayed by these floods. Because again, it was an absolute scene. If you've not yet, by the way, had the pleasure of watching a video of a Kalisa powering its way through a mighty flood, I would suggest watching that for an example of sheer Malaysian spirit. But the point is that we shouldn't necessarily have to have these things, right? Because these floods, ideally, we would have mitigated them. And yesterday was not mitigated. So main roads like Jalan Sultan Ismail were caught up in, you know, were caught in up to 3 meters of water. Masjid Jamek half submerged. In total, firemen had to rescue 15 people trapped in Jalan Gurney and Jalan Raja Alang. So Federal Territories Minister Tan Sri Anwar Musa has said that he'll look into the issue, and he proposed looking at whether development projects contributed to the floods. He also plans to re-evaluate the mitigation capacity of the smart tunnel, which was closed yesterday to do exactly that task, to mitigate the flood, but it failed. He did also say, however, that yesterday's heavy rainfall was unusual and it did overwhelm existing drainage systems. Nonetheless, the Alliance for Safe Communities chairman, Tan Sri Lee Lam Tai, said that the government should review KL's entire drainage system. And he also urged them to frequently check construction sites to ensure that they don't clog drains. And just based off of Tan Sri Anwar Musa's statement, I think that there is a lot of different things and a lot of different trains and threads to follow, right? Because development projects being one, just the state of our drains and rivers being another, whether or not the smart tunnel did what it's supposed to do. I think there are all these things, and especially when you're talking about a city that has the density that KL does, that also has the amount of cars on the road that KL does, something like yesterday is just, I've been using this word a lot, I think we all have across the station, it's a tremendous disruption, and it's really crucial to ensure that it's just not going to happen again. And in order to do that, we need to identify why it happened in the first place. So we're going to be speaking after this with Dr. Wong Wai Sum from the Water Resource Technical Division at the Institution of Engineers Malaysia. And in the meantime, though, if you have any questions or if you would like to share your own experiences in yesterday's floods in Kuala Lumpur, send them our way. Call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio.
Balming frustrated minds. BFM 89.9.
It's 6:12. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Wyn, talking now about the flash floods that happened in Kuala Lumpur yesterday, and more specifically what we can do to avoid this happening again. So we've been asking you to share your experiences in the flood yesterday, or just, yeah, whether you got stuck, let us know. But also send us any questions you might have about what could be done to help ensure that this doesn't occur again. We are crossing over now in the meantime to Dr. Wong Wai Sum, who is from the Water Resource Technical Division at the Institution of Engineers Malaysia. Dr. Wong, thank you so much for joining us. So flooding is not new in KL, but yesterday's floods seem to be unusually severe. What do you think might have caused the floods that we saw yesterday?
Okay, I think look at the rainfall, a record that we obtained from this info bundle and also some other sources. I think one of the main causes now is due to exceptionally high rainfall intensity that result in very high runoff volume in the drainage system and also the river system in KL. What has been recorded, what I know, is higher than 100 years return period. Some are recorded maybe more than 500 years return period of rainfall.
And other than that, then, what are the other usual reasons that can cause flooding in the city?
Okay. Definitely, I think a lot of system drainage system in Kuala Lumpur is very old age. I think maybe back in 20, 30 years ago, okay, that may not be catered for this increase in the development within the KL itself. Especially, I think the last 10 years, I think KL have seen a very high rapid development. This has actually increased the runoff into the river system itself, because we pave more areas, the impervious area become less. Okay. Although I think we have Masma to do the tension pond, but you know that KL is the area is very packed, and all these areas for this flood detention pond may not be available. Okay. That is one factor. The other one is because of the rapid development, a lot of sediment may be washed into the system itself, the drainage that may clog up the channel that can reduce the capacity. As well as the flood detention pond, with a high siltation problem, the storage capacity also will reduce. These are a few other factors besides the heavy rainfall that recorded yesterday.
So our drainage systems is something that has come under scrutiny. Is there regular maintenance of these systems to clear up the situation that accumulates?
It's supposed to be, but sometimes because I think like big flood detention pond, like those, just inlet into the smart tunnel, all these things, it may be not easy to maintain. It may cost some money. So sometimes the maintenance budget may not sufficient. I think that is maybe one of the constraints by the authorities to maintain all this system at one go. So definitely, I think the authorities like DBKL and JPS, they may have budget for maintenance. But it depends on the severity of the situation itself.
And besides the retention ponds and drainage systems, what are other existing mechanisms that help to mitigate floods in our city?
Okay, I think as far as we all know, at the upper catchment, actually we have the Glengate and Batu Dams that also store some flood water. Okay, that's this component. I think the well-known one is the smart tunnel. As we know that, it bypassed the flood flow away from city centre, from Sungai Kleng and Sungai Ampang to Desa Pond downstream to bypass the city centre. And the other two major components for flood mitigation are the Gombak diversion that divert flood flows from Sungai Gombak to Batu Detention Pond, as well as the Kro diversion to divert flood flows from Sungai Kro to Wayu Pond. All these are some major flood mitigation components that actually are reducing the flood water that entering the city center. So although we have all these measures, the increase in flood flow can also caused by many rapid developments. As well as one of the important issues is the climate change. As I mentioned, the recorded rainfall may be more than 100 years. All the system in Kuala Lumpur are mainly designed to cater for the 100 years return period of rainfall. Okay? If the rainfall is higher than the 100 years return period, definitely the capacity of that drainage or river system cannot take it. Then we will overspill the bank and flood the surrounding area.
So outside of drainage, I think development is another thing that has come under focus. Could you tell us more about how rapid development can contribute to flooding in KL?
Okay. Because rapid development, any development, we normally will build concrete structures or pave the area with roads and also with concrete pavement. Okay. Because before that, let's say if the area is a forested area, water rain, it will actually absorb into the ground. Like forested area, the ground is like a sponge. It can absorb a lot of water and will not straight away go to the drain. We don't have drainage system at the forest area. It won't go and absorb water rain, and slowly it will go into the nearby river. But when we develop the area, actually we are paving the area to concrete with roof, with a road, with all the concrete that water actually cannot absorb. It will directly, when rainfall fall into this impervious area, the water will actually directly go into the drain and go into the river. Then the peak discharge can increase by three times as compared to maybe undeveloped area. Okay, that is the reason why rapid development will cause the increase in runoff. But definitely, I think the authority like JPS and DBKL have implemented the MASMA, manual master alarm, to reduce the discharge into the river by having like a on-site detention, a flood detention pond, before the runoff go into the river system or drainage system. Okay, that is why rapid development can cause flooding at the downstream.
So people also often bring up littering as a contributing factor to flooding. Is this significant?
Yeah, definitely. I think when we simply throw rubbish around, okay, at the roadside or whatever, normal time is okay. But when heavy rain, very heavy rain, the flow will actually wash all these debris into the drainage system itself. Because maybe some of the culverts crossing or channel is narrow, all these debris will start to accumulate, especially when you have some pipeline crossing across the drain or whatever. Then all these debris will accumulate upstream of it and block the flow of the drainage system. That will cause the capacity of the drainage system reduce, and water will start to overspill the bank and flood the surrounding. Okay, that's one of the main reasons or factors that cause the flash flood.
And I guess this is the big question. Is it possible to prevent floods completely in KL?
I don't think so. Because I think in all the cities is all over the world, I think they also may experience some flooding here and there. Okay, because to completely prevent flooding from KL, I think we need a lot of very high investment. Okay, because sometimes the flooding is the rain is very, very high intensity. Then if we invest a lot of money into it, maybe that high intensity rainfall may come once in 200 years or 300 years. We are investing a lot of money to prevent an event that is very rare. Okay, so. In order to address this, actually, we should go for other measures also, like those non-structural measures, like we control the development in those floodplain, low-lying area, okay? Or we can actually do some flood forecasting on the river itself so that we can know that the impending flood, when the flood haven't reached the area yet, we may predict it to come, then we can actually forewarn the premises to take measures, okay, to avoid being flooded, the cars or whatever. That is some of the measures that can be taken into account to prevent all these severe, rare cases of flooding.
And can anything be done to prepare ahead of the monsoon seasons?
Actually, some of the immediate measures, I think these are coming also. Because inter-monsoon also may cause a lot of heavy rainstorm, thunderstorm. What can be done is to, actually we should keep all the flood mitigation components in good conditions. That means all the gates, all the pump system, everything in good condition, in good operation conditions. So when the flood comes, if you operate according to the standard operation procedure, okay, that was designed for. And also we should actually do a lot of maintenance, like disilting all the flood retention ponds if it's badly silted out, and also to clear all the drainage system that are clogged by debris or rubbish. All these things, I think we can do to prepare for the system to be ready during the monsoon season.
So earlier you mentioned that upgrading our structural systems would involve heavy costs, but I do think at this point we need to weigh that against the benefits that can come of flood mitigation. So how would you respond? I mean, can we explore this idea a little further?
Yeah, definitely there are still some measures that can be implemented. Although I think in Kuala Lumpur you can see that a lot of areas have been developed already. We don't have much land to enlarge the river itself also, or to make additional detention pond. So I think to do some measures, we definitely may cost some very high cost, maybe cost billions of ringgit. But sometimes if the damage is too large, maybe the investment is still worthwhile. Okay? Such that we can actually do some diversion of river for those river like Batu Pond, all this that the storage is big enough, or we can actually have in-stream storage. That means, because in KL, the river is very steep. Actually, we can deepen the river or widen the river channel as a storage also. Okay. The other measures is we can actually have deep pond storages. Okay. The existing pond, Big pond like Batu Pond, Wayu Pond, all these Taman Desa Pond, actually we can deepen it and make it increase the flood storage. But actually these ponds are also can be used for water supply. As we know that I think water supply also recently we have a water cut, then we have a water problems also, water supply problem. By actually use the pond as a water supply, actually the water level can be lowered down, okay? Then the pond can be readily used to store more flood water. That is a few suggestions can be done.
Now, one last question before you go. Are there examples of other cities with similar problems or infrastructure even to KL which have actually been able to successfully manage their flooding?
As far as I know, for those cities with similar high rainfall intensity and with rapid development, they are also facing the similar problems like Bangkok, like Jakarta or this. Even Singapore, that have a very small catchment area, once in a while also they may face some flash flood problem. I cannot so far pinpoint any city that really can solve totally their flooding problems. But definitely some city, their design criteria may be higher. As I mentioned just now, Kuala Lumpur is the design criteria is 100 years return period. But some city, they may go higher, like 200 years return period. They may have a higher protection level. So, but they still have some flooding problem. If the rainfall is higher than that design criteria, they still face the flooding problems. Especially now, I think everybody know that the climatic change may actually increase the rainfall in certain area and very high intensity. So this world, I think, is still facing a lot of flooding problems. So we have to design the system to be more resilient rather than we upgrade, keep on upgrading the system, or we have to do other non-structural measures. Like we have to define the floodplain. Those areas we frequently flooded, we should actually maybe increase the platform level or do other type of developments rather than for residential or commercial or whatever. Or we also can actually powder the area for low-lying area and do pumping system so that we can avoid severe flooding along this low-lying area.
Dr. Wong, thank you so much for speaking with us. That was Dr. Wong Wai Sam from the Water Resource Technical Division at the Institution of Engineers Malaysia, talking to us about flood mitigation in the city, really, and what went wrong yesterday, what we can do to prevent it in the future. So some messages that have come through on this, put simply, we have this saying, sediment, lots of plastic garbage, which I think just anybody with eyes wandering through our city will see. Meanwhile, Arsene says, whether the floods were due to poor planning, construction sites or freak weather, the fact remains we can expect more unusual levels of rain and flooding in future as climate change causes more extreme weather. Rather than pinpointing one cause or laying blame on one aspect, we should be looking at comprehensive measures for heavier flood prevention, as even the most well-meaning city planner 50 years ago could not have foreseen what our rain would be like today. We need not just better drains, but consider, as cities in Europe, Hong Kong and the US are, urban parks and green spaces, which also function as floodwater sponges, which can be far cheaper to build than massive drain networks. Part of our urban flooding woes can be attributed to how much concrete is causing water to flow underground instead of sink into it. And that's actually something that is coming up repeatedly in the messages. Lots of interest in the idea of sponge cities, I think is the term, which is really quite a lovely sounding thing. So, for example, let me find that message. Oh, it's missing. But there are quite a few messages that have come through basically saying, why aren't we thinking about sponge cities? And that's something that I think we'll get into after. But keep those thoughts coming. I mean, we're talking about yesterday's flash floods and addressing why they happened and hopefully how they can be prevented in the future. You can call us with your thoughts, 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.